Hello everyone and welcome to Landmark English. Today we have our travel unit and so we've got a really interesting article. But before we begin, I'm looking at my recording partner today and he has his eyes closed. Mike, why do you have your eyes closed?
Well, Lily, I'm just thinking back to the beautiful, beautiful things that I saw in Kashmir.
Really? You had a really good trip then?
It was incredible. The amount of beauty that's there on the lakes and going through the crowded streets, seeing the incredible culture there. It was an incredible time and I just want to close my eyes so I can take myself back there in my head.
Well, it's really interesting because I can see here that the title of our article today is Kashmir. If there is a paradise on earth, it is this. So really, is it like paradise?
Definitely. That line, actually, as we're going to see, comes from an emperor, a Mughal emperor, who once visited Kashmir and said it was the most beautiful place he'd ever seen. So for hundreds and hundreds of years, people have appreciated the beauty of that magical spot.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading through today's article. So listeners, if you haven't opened up your magazines, please do so. Today is May 8th as we read through the first paragraph of our article today. The waves lapped softly against my boat, pleasantly rocking me as I lay in my hammock. The sky was dotted with the long, elegant forms of circling herons. In the distance, a lone canoe drifted across the lake. Its occupant was a short, barrel-chested man who was scooping out chunks of rich mud to be used as fertilizer. As I watched him slowly and carefully carrying out his work, I felt a sense of tranquility in the air. Okay, so that's the first paragraph of today's article, and I can't wait to read all about this amazing trip that Mike had. Okay, so the paragraph starts with, "The waves lapped softly against my boat, pleasantly rocking me as I lay in my hammock." Well, that's pretty interesting. So you are lying in a hammock on a boat?
Oh, of course. Most of the hotels in Kashmir are actually in these houseboats. So I was lying on my hammock, which of course is a kind of a net, a sort of like a net that you hang from, that you lie in, that lets you swing back and forth. It's very relaxing.
That's right. I love lying in hammocks, especially while I'm at the beach, because you can listen to the ocean and the waves coming up the beach. But for you, as you lay in your hammock, the waves were lapping against the boat.
That's right. They were softly just drifting against the boat, slapping up against it very softly, and rocking the boat, which is great because if you're in a hammock, you're hanging down and you usually have to rock it yourself. But in a boat, you're being rocked naturally, which is really, really relaxing.
Well, it must have felt very peaceful, but at the same time, the sky was dotted with the long, elegant forms of circling herons. So that's wonderful. You got to lie in this hammock, you got to listen to the waves, but you also got to see these wonderful birds. What exactly do they look like?
These herons are very special because they have these long, thin, very graceful bodies, and it's incredible to see them circling in the sky because they're looking down at the lake for fish.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. And in the distance, a lone canoe drifted across the lake. So you saw someone in a canoe, and was there just one canoe on this lake?
Well, there was only one, and we know that there was only one because it says a lone canoe. The lake is actually usually very busy, but at this time in the morning, there was just one there because it was so early, and most of the people were still asleep.
So who was in the canoe?
Well, the occupant, the person who was in the canoe, was a short, barrel-chested man. Now, when we say someone's barrel-chested, what that means is they have a very wide chest, almost like there's a barrel there. If you imagine a barrel being sort of short and very wide, that was the kind of chest that he had. Because, of course, all day long he was scooping out these chunks, these thick pieces of rich mud. So because he spent all day scooping, working with this long pole to pull things out of the water, his chest was very big. And that's what I was saying when I said barrel-chested.
And you know what? I really love this word, scooping. It's basically almost you can imagine someone digging into something to take something out. For example, whenever I want to make rice, I take a cup and I measure out exactly how much rice I want to cook. And so the cup, I dig it into the rice. I basically scoop up some rice so that I can put it into the rice pot. Well, basically what you were doing was you watched him slowly and carefully carrying out his work. So why exactly was he scooping out chunks of this rich mud?
Well, the mud in the lake is actually a really good fertilizer. If you look at the photo that's on the page there of the lake with all the green things growing in it, all the plants, you can see that it's a very rich lake. There's a lot of plant life there. And the reason it's so rich is because the earth that's there has a lot of nutrients. It's very good for plants. So the people scoop out these chunks of mud to use as fertilizer on the land.
Well, that's really interesting because I've actually never heard of anyone taking fertilizer in this way before. In your travels, did you see anyone else do this?
Well, I'd never seen anything like that before, but if you look at the photo on day one, there's this beautiful photo of him sitting in his boat kind of taking a rest with this huge mound of earth next to it. So he was there every day scooping out enormous amounts of fertilizer, and I guess that must have been enough for everybody in the area.
And as we read the last sentence of this paragraph, we can see that as Mike was watching him slowly and carefully doing his work, you felt a sense of tranquility in the air. So basically, that means that you felt really peaceful. You felt at peace and relaxed, which I can understand because you were in a hammock on a boat and watching this guy doing his work very carefully.
That's right. It was a scene of complete peace to just be looking out over the lake. The lake water was actually almost like a mirror, just reflecting the sky beautifully. There were a few clouds just drifting slowly across. You can see in the pictures, of course, how beautiful it was and how clear the sky was and how beautiful the water is, and it was just an incredible scene.
All right, listeners, now it's time for some Chinese explanation.
Hello, my name's Daphne. 一连3天的旅游单元，我们要带大家去的呢是一个非常特别的地方 ,Kashmir, 也就是克什米尔。这个呢也是 Mike 他的亲身经验。文章一开始呢以微动的场景烘托出像天堂一般的地方。If there is a paradise on earth, 这个地方是什么呢 ?It is this, 也就是 Kashmir。就像第一句话里头的这个 waves 啊，波浪，它是动状的。那么 rocking me 也是摇晃着我，这是一种动状的感觉。但是躺在吊床上，那种感觉是一种心灵的平静。In the distance, a long canoe drifted across the lake. Its occupant was a short, barrel-chested man. 这里的 it 呢，就指的是前面那句话提到独木舟的。独木舟的主人呢，是一个 short, barrel-chested man， 形容他的胸膛非常的宽阔。Man 后面的 who 所引导的子句呢，进一步的说明这个主人呢 ，who was scooping out chunks。Chunks 呢，指的是一块一块的东西。可是这里是什么样的块状物呢？Of rich mud 形容这些泥土呢非常的肥沃，而至于这个 rich mud 后面的不定词片语说明这一些土壤是用来做什么的呢 ?To be used as fertilizer 是用来当肥料用的。最后一句话呢强调他心灵那种平静的感觉。I felt a sense of tranquility in the air. A sense of something 后面要接名词 ,tranquility 的意思呢是平静。例如如果你有幽默感的话是呢 ,a sense of humor, 有责任感是 a sense of responsibility, 一种归属感呢是 a sense of belonging, 在这里 Mike 呢觉得内心有一种平静的感觉。
Now it's time for a short break, don't go away, when we come back we'll continue with the rest of today's article. Welcome back, listeners. We're reading this article on Kashmir, and we have Mike in the studio, and this was actually his trip, so it's really interesting because we get to hear a lot of his stories. Now it's time to read through the second paragraph.
It was my second day in Srinagar, Kashmir, in the far north of India. I had rented a houseboat on the scenic Negin Lake, just outside the city. Srinagar is famous for its houseboats, and the city's lakes are packed with about 1,000 of these floating hotels.
Okay, so here we learn that it was Mike's second day in Srinagar, which is in the far north of India. And so what did you do while you were there, Mike?
Well, I had rented a houseboat on the scenic Nagin Lake just outside the city. We say it's scenic because, as I said, it's a beautiful scene, a beautiful image just to look at it. A beautiful, beautiful place. So I had rented a houseboat on this lake that was just outside the city of Srinagar, which made it much more peaceful, made the scenery more beautiful. If you look at the photos, there aren't a whole lot of buildings out there, no skyscrapers. It's just the lake and the sky and maybe a couple of mountains in the background. But really, there's not much else. It's right very peacefully outside of the bustle and all of the commotion of the city.
It really does look very beautiful. But what I find really interesting is that Srinagar is famous for its houseboats. And like you mentioned in this paragraph, basically the city's lakes are packed with about 1,000 of these floating hotels. So is it everywhere you look, you just see these houseboats?
Yeah, actually the tradition started back in the British because the British used to like to come here for holidays back in the times when they used to rule a large part of India. But Kashmir was still ruled by a local emperor, and he didn't want the British coming in because he didn't want to lose the land, so he passed a law saying that no British person was allowed to own any land in Kashmir. And of course, the British got around that by building boats and living there.
Well, that's pretty smart. I don't think I've ever heard of any other people building houseboats because they weren't allowed to own or build anything on the land. That was actually pretty smart of them, don't you think?
Well, it's a different lifestyle. I mean, it's a very beautiful type of life to live. So maybe they did it for practical reasons because they couldn't stay on the land. But it was so popular that now, even though those laws no longer exist, everybody wants to stay on houseboats.
Well, are these houseboats really big? Because after all, they're called houseboats, so are they the size of houses?
They are the size of houses.
Well, it really does sound like a great way to spend your vacation. Okay, listeners, now it's time for some more Chinese explanation.
第二段提到 Mike 在 Srinagar 这个地方第二天的情形。I had rented a houseboat on the scenic Nagin Lake.Scenic 意思是表示风景优美的，形容后面这个湖呢风景非常的漂亮。那湖在哪里呢？后面又有一个片语告诉我们 ，just outside the city。Srinagar 这个地方呢 ，is famous for its houseboats。Be famous for 就是以什么著名 ，houseboats 呢？顾名思义就是船，但是呢，你可以住在上面当家来使用。因为这个家像船一样，所以另外一种方法说明它呢，就是 floating hotels 是浮在湖面上的旅馆。下面那句话提到 ，The city's lakes are packed with about 1,000 of these floating hotels。句子的动词片语是 be。Packed with, pack 当动词来用，主动是挤满、塞满。那么这里被动语态强调呢，这个地方是被很多的 floating hotels 塞满，挤得满满的。Be packed with 呢，可以等于 be crammed with, 或者是 be crowded with。此外，刚才 Mike 告诉我们，住在这个 floating hotels 呢，是一种 British tradition, 因为印度这个国家以前是英国的殖民地。所以有很多地方都要受到英国人的统治。不过 Kashmir 这个地方呢 was ruled by a local emperor, 当时呢是由当地的一个国王所统治的，他不属于英国人的领土。那个国王呢，他不允许英国人拥有 Kashmir 的土地，所以外国人要到这个地方度假，只好住在船上了。
It's time now to continue on to the third and final paragraph of today's article.
I sat back, staring out at the clear blue sky reflected perfectly in the calmness of the lake. India is a busy and crowded place, and I had come to Kashmir for a break. Because of its remoteness and natural beauty, Kashmir has been a place of rest and relaxation for hundreds of years. The Mughal Emperor Jahangir was particularly fond of the place. On his deathbed in Srinagar, his last words were,If there is a paradise on earth, it is this.
Wow, everything we're reading about Srinagar today really makes it sound incredibly beautiful. And so we begin this paragraph with, I sat back, staring out at the clear blue sky reflected perfectly in the calmness of the lake. And Mike had mentioned that before, how calm and gentle the lake was. It was really peaceful to be there. But you went there for a specific reason, right, Mike?
That's right. I went there to get away from the commotion of India. India, of course, has a billion people in it. It's a very, very busy place, and everywhere you go, people are pushing and shoving. And I had heard that Kashmir was different. If you went up there, there was a lot of natural beauty. And of course, I wasn't disappointed, as you can imagine. Lying there in my hammock, just drifting with the lake, it was perfectly peaceful. And it was a great chance to get away from all the crowds of India.
Okay, listeners, let's listen to today's By the Way.
I need a break, Anne.
Okay, Matt. We'll take a coffee break.
No. A 10-minute break isn't what I meant.
But you said a break, right? When you stop doing whatever you're doing and rest for a while, that could be a coffee break, right?
Break 就是休息，为了提振工作精神，通常在上午十点或下午三点会有 coffee break。工作同仁可以泡杯咖啡聊一下，休息十分钟左右。
Yeah, a coffee break is a break, but that's not the only kind of break.
Oh, so you want a lunch break?
No, not a lunch break, a real break.
But a lunch break is a real break, isn't it? Lunch break 就是午休时间。
Yeah, a lunch break is a break. But break doesn't only mean to stop and rest for a while. Break can also mean to stop doing what you've been doing for a long time and do something different.
Oh, so when you say you want to take a break, that doesn't necessarily mean that you want to rest.
Right. Maybe do something exciting.See and feel something different, you know, get a change of scenery and have a different experience. That's the kind of break I'm talking about.
Break 不一定是休息，也可以指换个环境，做一点不一样的事，改变一下生活。
Wow, that sounds great. Let's stop recording now and take a break.
See you next time.
All right, we're back.Here we learn, because of its remoteness and natural beauty, Kashmir has been a place of rest and relaxation for hundreds of years. Well, it really makes sense after listening to everything that Mike has had to say about Kashmir. It has its remoteness, so if a place is remote, it means it's really far removed from anywhere else, right?
That's very true. Actually, to get to Kashmir, you can fly, but it's very difficult because it's so high up and it's so remote.And there's a dangerous military situation here with armies everywhere that want to attack each other. So flying is not a good idea. But of course, if you don't fly, it's very difficult to get there.
Well, then how did you get there?
Well, I had to go overland by a jeep. And it actually took many, many days. It was about 4 days driving altogether, all the way through these very high, beautiful mountain passes. It was an incredible trip, but of course, it's very difficult, too, to be driving for days and days and days. So if we say that a place is remote, that's the kind of image that I want to give you, this idea that it's very, very far away from other places, very difficult to get to.
Well, then it makes sense why it's been a place of rest and relaxation for hundreds of years. Now, here we learn that the Mughal Emperor Jahangir was particularly fond of the city. And so we learn that there was this ancient ruler in India, his name was Jahangir, and he was particularly fond of this place, meaning he really loved it a lot. If you're fond of something or someone, it means you care about it. So I guess he really liked going there for rest and relaxation as well.
That's right. I mean, his last words were, if there is a paradise on earth, it is this. He loved that city. All that he could think about dying was, I'm dying, but I love this place. He wanted to die in Srinagar, actually, and that was his last wish. And so they took him up there, and his last words were, this is paradise. So he loved it. He found a beautiful, beautiful place, and I found the same kind of beauty when I went there.
And what I find really interesting is that back then, after people died, they all believed that they went into a place like heaven or someplace that was supposed to be paradise. But he himself, Jahangir, as he was dying, he was saying that Srinagar was paradise.
That's right. He must have been thinking about whether he would go to paradise in the next life, because paradise just means a wonderful place to go to. So maybe he was thinking about that, but he was saying, well, at least while I've lived, I've found a paradise here.
Well, I have to ask, because you were saying that it was pretty difficult to get to, did you actually see any other foreigners there?
Oh, of course. It's actually quite a popular tourist destination, although it's very difficult to go to, so it doesn't have the crowds of other places in India. Like if you go to, say, Delhi or the Taj Mahal, these places get millions and millions of tourists every year. Kashmir doesn't get that many people, partly because of the remoteness, but also because of the dangerous political situation.
Well, I've heard of some of the troubles that they've been having there, but I don't know any of the details. Could you explain briefly for our listeners?
Well, Kashmir is up in the north of India, between three different countries, India, Pakistan, and China, and all three of these countries claim that Kashmir is actually their territory. So while India controls it now, Pakistan thinks that it's theirs, and China thinks that it's theirs, and in fact, Pakistan and India have fought three wars over control of Kashmir. So when you go there now, there's a very tense political situation. It's a beautiful, natural place, but politically there's a lot of soldiers everywhere. There's a heavy military presence, and it can be a little bit scary as well.
Well, then that's a shame, because you're saying it's such a wonderful place, but then I guess you might feel a little bit scared if you see all of these soldiers about.
Actually, that's the incredible thing, is as scary as it is, the beauty of the place overpowers any nervousness, any tension that's in the air. So you realize that it's a dangerous situation, but it's still incredibly beautiful, and that's what you feel. That's why the people are still coming there, even though it's kind of a dangerous place.
Okay, listeners, that's the end of our third and final paragraph. It's time now for some Chinese explanation.
在第三段里头我们看到 India is a busy and crowded place, and I had come to Kashmir for a break. 这个 I 呢指的是 Mike, 他到 Kashmir 这个地方呢是 for a break。这里的 break 可以解释成为是度假，如果是上下课中间那个休息的话，我们称之为短暂的休息。为什么到这个地方来呢？ Because of its remoteness and natural beauty, Kashmir has been a place of rest and relaxation for hundreds of years. Remoteness 是一个名词的用法，形容词是 remote, 说明 Kashmir 呢地处偏远。 Mike 呢告诉我们他坐了好几天的吉普车才能够到达这个地方。此外，这个地方人烟稀少，还有另外一个原因，就是因为它的 dangerous political situation， 它的政治状况呢不太稳定。因为 India 印度、Pakistan 巴基斯坦，还有 China 中国呢，这几个国家 they all claim Kashmir their territory， 就是他们都宣称呢 Kashmir 是他们的领土。宣称这个动词是 claim， C L A I M。C-L-A-I-M, claim. 可见这个地方呢深受大家的喜欢，就像以前的 Mughal Emperor Jahangir 一样， He was particularly fond of the place. Be fond of 就是喜欢， particularly 这个副词加在这里告诉我们他特别尤其喜欢 Kashmir 这个地方。直到他临死之前呢， His last words were， 他最后的临死遗言是什么？就是 were 后面冒号以及引号里头所提到的， If there is a paradise on earth, it is this. This 呢就指的是 Kashmir.
Okay, it's now time for another short break. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Hi, and welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about Kashmir, this beautiful, wonderful, peaceful place where I went just a little while ago. And in the beginning of this article, we have me lying on the boat with waves drifting against the boat and these beautiful, big, long birds circling in the sky. And, of course, I was staying in Srinagar in Kashmir, up in the north of India, and I'd rented out a houseboat on this incredibly beautiful lake that was just outside of the city. So I'm lying there, I'm staring out at the clear blue sky and looking at the calmness of the lake.
It sounds very relaxing. Okay, listeners, it's time to read through today's article one last time. The waves lapped softly against my boat, pleasantly rocking me as I lay in my hammock. The sky was dotted with the long, elegant forms of circling herons. In the distance, a lone canoe drifted across the lake. Its occupant was a short, barrel-chested man who was scooping out chunks of rich mud to be used as fertilizer. As I watched him slowly and carefully carrying out his work, I felt a sense of tranquility in the air.
It was my second day in Srinagar, Kashmir, in the far north of India. I had rented a houseboat on the scenic Negin Lake, just outside the city. Srinagar is famous for its houseboats, and the city's lakes are packed with about 1,000 of these floating hotels. I sat back, staring out at the clear blue sky reflected perfectly in the calmness of the lake. India is a busy and crowded place, and I had come to Kashmir for a break. Because of its remoteness and natural beauty, Kashmir has been a place of rest and relaxation for hundreds of years. The Mughal Emperor Jahangir was particularly fond of the place. On his deathbed in Srinagar, his last words were, "If there is a paradise on earth, it is this."
Now it's time for today's vocabulary. Scoop. The vendor scooped up the ice cream with a big metal spoon.
Tranquility. Jane loves the tranquility of nature when she goes camping.
Scenic. Taroko Gorge is a popular scenic spot.
Remoteness. The remoteness of Antarctica makes it difficult to reach.
Be fond of. Georgia was very fond of her puppy dog and brought it with her everywhere. So, Mike, I know you've traveled a lot, but if you could go to an exotic place on Earth, where would you go? And explain why.
Well, there's many, many exotic places that I've visited, as people who listen to this show will understand. But the one place that I really have never been is Africa, and I would love to visit there because it's very remote, as we said, and there's a lot of natural beauty.
Well, what do you think you would do in Africa?
I would love to go on safari. There's so many incredible animals to see, maybe hang out with some tribal villagers. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It really does. Okay, listeners, please join us again tomorrow as we continue this unit. Until then, my name is Lily.
And I'm Mike.
See you next time.